From the Family Life Podcast Network, this is Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins. I'm on a relentless pursuit to help you love the one you're with and discover all the benefits that come with saying I do. It's been fun to talk with Shanti Feldhahn, Harvard-trained researcher and best-selling author, about all these different questions that every wife is thinking. And here is a big one. In fact, it's been a song that every guy has sung in his head, a little R-E-S-P-E-C-T. What does it really mean to him? I'm guessing, because you wrote For Women Only, this was a big topic in that book.
Yes.
You've heard a lot about it.
Yeah. I hear from so many women, and I'm sure you guys do too, here at Family Life, who have been told, you know, okay, Emerson Eggerich's book, Love and Respect, you know, the stuff in For Women Only about the importance, the emotional importance of respect to men. And there's so many women who are like, okay, enough.
I'm done.
You know, I am done with hearing about this. What happens when I am married to someone who is either not worthy of it, or in this one instance, like, how do I do this? When, how do I respect him when I don't feel like he deserves it?
Yeah.
And, you know, and I had one woman who came up to me. She was the assistant of a well-known pastor at a major church. And we were talking about this and, you know, appreciation and respect and affirmation. She's like, okay, let's get the balloons and let's all have a little praise party. And I'm like, ooh, okay.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a little bit of upsetness. And this is a very
I'm sensing
common,
bitterness.
I'm sensing a little bit of bitterness. And I'm kind of, you know, halfway laughing about it behind the scenes. But then I'm like, you know, that's actually not something to tease about. Like, there are women who are really hurting and really wondering, you know, okay, you say this. You don't know Henry.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
You know, so what do I do?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's wives out there right now that are going, if I hear one more sermon from another male pastor saying, I need to respect my husband. Like, you're right. He doesn't know, you know, Brian. he doesn't know what a jerk he can be. And so what does it look like to this idea of respecting unconditionally, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 5:33? What does that even look like practically? Because I mean, what if he's sinning? What if he's acting like a jerk? What if he, I mean, do you mean to respect in all those situations?
Well, and here's what we really have to confront, right? And this is for you women who are listening to this. Some of you are like, you know, this is an occasional thing and you need to know how do you give respect in those occasional circumstances when you don't feel like it. For some of you, this is a much bigger deal, right? Let's just acknowledge we're really sorry that you're in that situation and you're having to come to this conversation with something that's a real burden that you're carrying. I mean, you need to hear us say, I'm really sorry for your pain, because that is a real pain. I've had many friends who have been in that situation and it's hard. The thing that we also have to confront, though, is that God gave this command because ultimately, if you can walk through this, if you can do what the Lord asks you to do when you don't feel like it and you cannot possibly see how anything good can come from it, that this is where that paradox, that Jesus paradox, comes into play. And you'll start seeing changes in most cases. Now, there is no magic wand that you're going to wave and that you can guarantee that everything's always going to turn out hunky-dory, puppies and rose petals. It's all going to be awesome. But in most cases, we have found, and this is statistical, right? We have found that the vast majority, it's usually about 9 out of 10 marriages, there is a transformation.
Really?
So that's the hope that
so
comes
So if you want
it.
To change, what I hear you saying is that, listen, all of us probably out there want to change some aspect of our marriage or about the person that we're married to.
Right.
That I'd love to change their behavior. I'd love to, I don't know how to do it. And so I try all these different ways from nagging to you know, manipulating to—
Nagging? Never.
Never work.
I have no idea what
you're talking
about.
And
never.
My wife, Jen, would never do that.
Yes.
But I've heard, hypothetically, that there are women that have used that technique. And every time I, you know, I hear women talk, because I counsel, you know, a lot of marriages as well, and it's like I hear them talking about, you know, this is what I do. And I tell them this over and over and over again. I go, well, how's that working?
Dr. Phil, how's that working for you?
You know, if we keep doing that over and over, they're not going to change.
So every woman listening to this is going, okay, I'm really not happy with what I'm hearing, but tell me what to do.
Yep.
What do I do differently?
Exactly.
And so here's the starting point for me as a woman, mm-hmm. because, you know, I've been in the situation. I mean, Jeff is an amazing guy, but he's, you know, he's a normal guy. Mm-hmm. He can do things wrong. He can hurt my feelings, you know. And before we did all the research, there was a lot of stuff we didn't know about each other. Mm-hmm. And one of the most important things is to step back and go, okay, in the Bible, if those of us who believe that the Bible has something to say, which mm-hmm. not everybody does,
sure.
and so we acknowledge that, but for those of us who believe that the Bible has something to say on this, is to recognize that my husband is called to love me as Christ loved the church, and I am called to respect my husband no matter what. So that means that when my husband is doing something that I am mad about, that I do not agree with, you know, let's just say, for example, common thing I get asked at my events, you know, sure. I do women's events, is, you know, my husband is wrestling with pornography. He's
yeah.
struggling with pornography. This is hurting our marriage. Mm-hmm. It's hurting me. I can't even look at him. I can't let him touch
yeah.
me. How are you saying that I need to show him respect? And that's a hard thing, but think about it as, okay, let's say that you have been really grouchy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that you are, and ignore what he's doing for a moment. Let's just hypothetically say in some, you know, world where you're all by yourself, that you're grouchy, you're bitter, you're mad, mm-hmm. you're not being very lovable that day. It's been a hard day. You've
right.
been running around after the kids. Rawr. Is he allowed to not show you love just because you're not particularly lovable that day?
Yeah.
No, he is called to reach out in love
Do you think every wife listening would go, well, yeah, he should love me because that's when I'm most vulnerable or that's when I need it the most?
Correct. And that is exactly what happens with our men when we are mad that he made that decision with the kids and we're thinking that is dangerous, that's damaging, you know, you hurt our son's feelings or whatever, and I am so upset with you, or I told you I needed you home at 7 o'clock for the start of the dinner party and you waltzed in at 7:30 and, you know, and I'm embarrassed or whatever it is, and you do this all the time.
Or I see him taking that second glance.
And it's like there is an issue here of you can respect the person for who they are even while you're not endorsing poor behavior. And it's the same thing when we are basically grouchy and miserable and crying out to be loved. Loving us isn't endorsing the grouchiness.
Right.
Right. And one of the things that we found is that, and think about this, ladies, just put yourself in that position of you're that grouchy woman who's just had a terrible day and you're lashing out. If your husband shows grace and mercy and loves on you anyway, what does that do to us? For me, it softens my heart, right? And it convicts me.
Yeah.
And it makes me want to be lovable. It makes me want to be the person he's already treating me as.
Right.
It's the same thing for him, is that if he made a decision I completely disagree with, or he came in late and I am so mad, and yet I go up and I'm like, I know you didn't want to be late. Thanks so much for working so hard for the family. You know, listen, you know, we need to talk about the timing and all this at some other point, but, you know, thanks for getting here for the dinner party.
Mm-hmm.
It's not excusing poor behavior. It's going to convict him because he's expecting you to be all over him.
Well, and that's what I liked about softening. Like, if Jeff does that for you when you're being grouchy, being witchy, we could have used
We can use that word.
We can use that word, right? It does soften your heart.
Totally.
And every guy that I know, including me, we condemn ourselves enough already.
Yes.
Like, I know when I'm coming to that dinner party late, my wife is her love language is showing up on time, I think. we have this joke where it's like, you know, what are those things that irritate you the most? And for her, it's people that are late. I don't like to be late. I don't like people that like, and for me, the thing that irritates me the most are people that worry about being late. And so—
That's a great combination.
Yeah, it's a great combination. And I know what I'm putting her through right when I walk in the door. And so I am expecting her to come after me. And so if there's a change in posture or tone, boy, it does soften my heart.
Well, what I hear from a lot of guys, actually, and I've heard story after story after story of this, that, for example, if they walk in the door and they're expecting I can't believe you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, she comes up and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. You know, I know it must have been a really hard day, mm-hmm. you know, that you couldn't get away from the client. I know mm-hmm. you wanted to be here. Come on, everybody's in here. And the guy usually tells me, he feels this intense conviction.
Yep.
Like, oh, I failed my wife by being late and she's being so sweet to me. Oh my gosh, she's such an amazing woman. And how did I get so lucky? And,
right.
you know, and there's this conviction and he doesn't want to do that to her mm-hmm. again. Mm-hmm. Like, and he may still, you know, because
right.
we're all imperfect people. But one of the things that I have found with this whole sort of male-female dynamic is that if we will do what God tells us to do, it really is actually a source of conviction, which is then a source for change, hopefully.
Right.
Now, there's going to be women listening to this, though, who are like, but he hasn't
right.
changed.
Right, he hasn't changed.
Right, he still waltzes in half
He's
an hour
it
late.
Over
it drives
and over.
Me nuts. And so there's a second step.
Okay. Yeah. What's that?
That I think, and this is going to be hard for some women to hear if they're in a position of a real hurt. You know, mm-hmm. maybe coming home late is an annoyance.
Right.
But there's hurt, right? Like he is looking at porn or mm-hmm. whatever. That's hurt.
By the way, an unrespectable act.
Very much so.
I mean, it's like,
and that's the
thing is like, we're talking about issues that, boy, that is, if there's anything that's not worthy of respect,
it's that.
It's objectifying women.
Yeah.
Right. And whether that's taking the second glance or whether it's looking at porn, whatever it might be.
I mean, Jesus says it's cheating on your wife.
Yeah.
Right? I mean—
right. It's committing adultery.
Yeah. And that's the thing that, you know, again, it's a whole other podcast.
Right.
But what do you do
yeah.
when it's a bigger thing
mm-hmm.
and it's not, it hasn't changed?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I respect him? Okay. So what does that look like? How can you honor the spirit mm-hmm. of what God has asked you to do? And what we have seen, and this is all over the research, not just my research, but all that has been done by sociologists, et cetera, have found that if you will say, okay, this is a very real issue,
mm-hmm.
but actually it's not the sum total of what my husband is, mm-hmm. and that there are so many other things that are really wonderful about him that I'm just not seeing right,
right
now, that I'm not giving him credit for
right.
because I'm so focused on these frustrations, these mm-hmm. real frustrations
mm-hmm.
or these real sins in his life or these mm-hmm. real hurts against me. And that if I will say it's not the sum total, okay, so what does it look like? How can I notice those? How can I maybe pull my eyes off the nasty stuff and put it on the stuff that is worthy of respect?
Right.
And notice those and mm-hmm. talk about those. And one of the tools that we actually tested, and this is one of the recent books that I did, is called The Kindness Challenge.
Yep.
So we actually tested this. We call it the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. And the 30-Day Kindness Challenge is actually a way that you can change your mindset and change your actions so that you're looking for and seeing those things that are worthy mm-hmm. of attention and affirmation. And what you do with your husband, you can do this for anybody, by mm-hmm. the way, but it's really intense. It's a good thing with your husband. Is you do three things for 30 days.
Okay.
You don't say anything negative about him,
mm-hmm.
either to him or about him to
right.
somebody else, which is often where we kind of sabotage how we're feeling about him and make it even worse. Like,
mm-hmm.
If I'm going to my girlfriend's and I'm like, ugh, you know, you would not believe he came home late and I'm actually just focusing on that much more.
Right.
So the first thing is you don't say anything negative for 30 days to him or about him. Second thing is every day for 30 days is to find that one thing that is positive,
mm-hmm.
that is praiseworthy, something you can affirm and tell him and tell somebody else.
Okay, so bragging about him in front of somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Okay, it drives me nuts that he's always late, or he has this issue with porn. But you know what? And this is what one woman told me. She's like, in this instance with her husband, he actually truly had a porn addiction. They were working on this really horrible situation.
Yeah.
And she said, I had to pull myself out of it and go, but you know what? He is a really, really good, loving dad. Like, he loves his kids and he's always out there playing ball with them.
Right.
And, you know, and that is worthy of affirmation. And so she started with the 30-Day Kindness Challenge. She actually started catching him doing the good stuff
mm-hmm.
and saying, thank you for doing that. And then she'd go to her girlfriends who she had shredded him in front of for a long time and said, you know what he did yesterday? He came home from work and he was so tired and he took the kids out in the yard and played ball anyway. Mm-hmm. And so she's affirming him in front of others and at the same time reminding herself he is a good guy in these other areas. The third thing you do every day for 30 days is you just do a small action of kindness or generosity for him. You may not feel like it at all.
Right.
But maybe it's a peace offering to make him coffee. Get up early in the morning when you don't otherwise have to and make coffee so he sees and notices you're doing this to be kind to him, whatever that looks like. One guy, and this was another guy who was dealing with a porn addiction, he was in such a serious situation where he had really failed his wife. I think it had gone more than just looking at stuff.
Yeah.
I think that there had been some sort of physical infidelity.
Okay.
I mean, something really horrible. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to work through this. She was trying to do what God had called her to do through her tears and dealing with God. And she said she felt like God told her. I think he was a construction worker or on construction sites all day. And she felt like God had said, every day, I want you to bring him lunch.
Wow.
On the construction site.
Okay.
So he doesn't have to take the time, because apparently it was always like an issue to get out and get food and come back. And she's like, are you kidding me? Lord, are you kidding me?
Right.
And she just felt like this was a command from the Lord. And so she showed up one day, you know, 10 minutes before he would normally leave for lunch and said, you know, I just wanted to bring you this. And this man who had cheated on her and was so aware of his failing, she said he took the bag and she said as he walked away, she saw his shoulders start to shake. He was crying.
Yeah.
And she said it broke something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the love of God outpoured to this man who had had such a failure in his life. And that was one of these instances where that was the beginning of a whole new, you know, world. Mm-hmm. I think in those situations, I think that it didn't like solve the porn problem. He still had to go through some sort of, I can't remember, some sort of a program or something.
A recovery program.
Something like that. But they were bonded. Their marriage started to be healed.
And I think what you're bringing up is this eye-opener of what's the catalyst for real change? And what's the verse in Scripture where it talks about it's his kindness? It's God's kindness.
It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance.
It's not God's nagginess.
It's a great point.
Right? Or it's not God's manipulation or his yelling that leads to repentance. You know, what you're talking about here is it's almost like you're asking wives to release control of changing their husband's heart.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah, I wouldn't have put it that way, but that is absolutely true. That is absolutely it.
Because it seems like the fair thing, and I know Jen, my wife, she's a high justice, high fairness, and it's like, I want to let you know that you've wronged me. You know, where's that line between, okay, I want to respect him, but I don't want to feel like I'm enabling his sin, you know? Some wives could listen to this, the whole idea of, hey, she brought lunch to him for 30 days. Oh, that's so sweet. She's a doormat, you know? She's just letting him roll all over her. You know, what do you say? Where's that line between, okay, I want to show kindness and I want respect, but I don't want to enable sin?
So in my mind,
mm-hmm.
as I'm thinking this through, as you ask that question, the first thing that occurs to me is that this was a man who was repentant. Mm-hmm. And he already knew he'd failed.
Yeah.
And he already was, you know, very aware. He was still, I think, very much in some bad behavior. Mm-hmm. But he was very convicted about it.
Mm-hmm.
And this was just one thing that showed him that she was on his side.
That's a great statement too, right?
And
there.
That this was one thing that showed we're going to get through this together, and I care about you, and I believe in you, and I'm here with you. I wouldn't be here with you if I didn't believe in you. All of that was said by her coming and bringing this man who had shredded her heart lunch.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I do know that there are occasions where the guy is hard, he's cold, he is not repentant. And in those situations, I don't know the answer. I don't know that those kinds of situations you are continuing to enable. I'm thinking what's coming to my mind is something actually you and I were talking about not long ago, where I was at a convention of women 2 years ago. And this woman came up to me in tears, and I was talking about, you know, the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, and I was talking about some of these things, and she came up afterwards, and she said, you know, my husband's cheated on me, porn addiction, very similar situation, and he was very much getting his back up about, no, you know, I am not gonna, and it, I think he stopped cheating, but it was very much like, you know, grump, grump, grump about it. You know,
I'm going to keep going down this road.
I'm porn. The porn has nothing to do with you. You know, it says nothing about my love for you. Kind of get over it.
Right.
Right. And she was in tears, and she said so. And she had consulted a counselor on her own because he wouldn't go to one. And she said, you know, our story is that I felt like, you know, instead of doing the 30-Day Kindness Challenge, my choice has been, she said, I just told my husband, I think just a couple days before, that I am called to respect you, and I respect you too much to let you continue to destroy our marriage and to continue to destroy yourself. This is destroying you, not just us. This is going to destroy our children. I respect you too much to let that happen, and I'm going to respect myself and our family enough to say we're going to have to separate. And this is going to be a managed separation. It wasn't something she did in anger because, let me tell you, if you do this on your own without the guidance of a church or a pastor, holy cow, that's like you're going down a really dangerous road. Don't ever do that. But she spoke with the pastor, how should I do this? And so they did it under the authority of the church and under the guidance of the church. And she had just moved out. She had told her husband, and or I think maybe she'd asked him to move out. I can't remember. And so she said, we, you know, we just separated. And, you know, she was crying and, you know, this was an act of real faith. And, you know, I fly away. I don't know what happens. You know, this was in Indianapolis or somewhere. I live in Atlanta. You know, I never hear the end of these stories. Well, I went to the same convention just recently, just a couple months ago. And, you know, in a different city. And this woman comes up to me with this like huge smile on her face, and she says, you're not going to remember me, but I saw you at this conference 2 years ago, and I was, you know, I just left my husband and separated, and she said, she started crying, and she's like, it changed everything, and she's like, thank you so much for the encouragement to believe the best of him, and, you know, and do these things, and she said, we're back together, and we have an amazing marriage now. And I mean, I want to cry as I'm talking about
this.
That's
incredible.
You know? Because she took that step of strength under the authority of the church, and her husband's heart was broken because he lost his wife, he lost his kids, he had to confront what was actually happening in his life. But it was done with a heart of a desire to honor what God tells us to do as women.
And I think that's the big deal. And what I'm hearing so much, especially as a guy, the difference, the small change is so much in posture and tone.
Yes.
It is a posture of, I'm not against you, I'm for you. It's a posture and tone of, even though I disagree with how you're doing, I'm going to have a tone of, you know what, I respect you, I love you, I'm for you. I don't agree with this. But just that posture and tone makes a world of difference, where I think it really does put it back on the husband, who most husbands, I would say, know when they mess up. They know. It's like if they're looking at porn or taking that second or third glance or doing something totally disrespectful, they know and they hate it.
Yes, right. Exactly. Inside,
they
may or may not. Yeah.
Unless they're just totally, you know, callous, they know it and they hate it.
Yeah.
And so to have a wife that recognizes, you know what, I'm going to believe the best about you, and I'm going to respect you. And then I think what you just did was a real difference between, okay, first step, have your tone and posture right. The second step, depending on which direction the husband goes, if he goes down the way of going, nope, I'm going to still do what I want to do, there might be a different action that takes place. I'll still respect you in my tone and my posture, but I might need to talk to a counselor, separate, whatever it might be.
Whatever it is, I respect you too much to let you continue to destroy yourself and our marriage and our family.
Exactly. And that's real love. That's tough love. But for the vast majority, I think, of wives, once you have that posture and tone and you see, oh, my husband's starting to soften, I like this kindness challenge idea of, okay, how do I then continue to show respect in real practical ways? And what I heard you say was, number one, just never talk.
Never disrespectfully.
Talk disrespectfully in front of him and in front of others. Now, I could hear one wife going, well, who do I talk to honestly about my feelings then? If I can't say anything bad about my husband, you know, for 30 days, is there, I do have something to share.
Yeah. So perfect example of this was a girlfriend of mine was doing this, and there were some very real issues that she was in an actual support group for. Mm-hmm. This wasn't just a group of, you know, friends like we tend to sit around, have coffee and go, okay, here's what happened, right?
Right.
That was not her.
Mm-hmm.
She was in an actual support group. And so she's like, this support group is my lifeline. Like, mm-hmm. what am I supposed to say, you know, for 30 days? And she felt like she suddenly, as she sat there one day and she's wanting to say something, and she realized, oh my word, I can still say something as long as I say it very factually and matter-of-factly and calmly, like, okay, here's what's going on. Would love your prayer for this. And in that kind of tone, as opposed to what she said she realized she had been doing is saying these things for the pleasure of going, you would not believe what happened in my house yesterday.
Yeah. With the head wag.
With the head wag. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can't see in the studio. I've got the head wag on that one. You know, you would not believe that. And she's like, I realized I was saying it and sharing a lot of this stuff for the pleasure of sharing this, you know, moment.
Shock value.
The shock value and this, you not believe what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And she said, once I had to start stating it just very matter-of-factly, she said, suddenly I realized it's changing my heart.
Yeah.
And I'm really, truly getting the support that I need, but I'm not entering into that, you know, there's a little bit of release of serotonin, like this mm-hmm. feels good mm-hmm. to talk about this. Mm-hmm. And so then it basically incentivizes me to do this way again.
Sure.
And instead, and that's something that us as women, we fall into without even realizing we're falling into it. So as we withhold that, and as we look for the very real positives, suddenly that's when our hearts yeah. start to change.
Okay. So what I'm just wrapping up these different principles, which I think are great, you know, first of all, just a posture and tone of respect. I'm going to change the way that I think and talk and speak to him. I'm going to not say anything negatively to him or about him to others. And then I'm going to do something kind every day, something tangible, right?
Yep.
And if somebody wants to take this kindness challenge, where would they go? Is there a website?
Yeah, jointhekindnesschallenge.com.
All right. We challenge everybody to jump on that and do it because it gives you something practical every day to do. And you get a great reminder and because we forget. We're forgetful people.
And if there's something big, mm-hmm. another to-do here is to recognize that sometimes the most kind, respectful thing you can do is to draw a line
yes.
in the sand and have a boundary. And have a boundary that you reach out and get help and you go, how do I enforce this boundary? What does that look like?
Sure.
Sometimes that is very, very necessary.
Absolutely. One of my favorite proverbs is Proverbs 18:1, where it says that when we isolate ourselves, it only leads to destruction. And it's like this idea that when we isolate, we create chaos. And that's why Christianity was never a solo sport. It's how do I get counselors around me? How do I get the church around me? How do I get others to help? Because I have blind spots. I don't see things perfectly. Help me draw that line and then help me stand by that line.
And a final thing, depending on how you do this and whether or not there's a boundary that mm-hmm. is a big one or it's just something, you know, day-to-day issue in your marriage, as you're trying to do this with goodwill yeah. rather than to punish him.
Yeah. Yep. You know, as we get closing to wrapping up, I think it would be great to give a few little things, some little tips that could make a big difference, because I think every wife sitting out there would go, oh, if my husband would just do a few little things, it would show me that he loves me and share, like, you know, bringing chocolate here and there, a surprise little chocolate at my office, or a text that would hit during the middle part of my day that just says, honey, you are hot and I love you.
yes, or if every wife would love that.
Or
yes.
if you walk in and just give her a big bear hug at the end of the day in front of the kids. And those little things, you know, as a wife, would just bring oxygen into your soul.
Yep.
So what about for a husband? You go, okay, how could I practice that respect muscle in little ways to get little wins for every day?
So one of the biggest little wins, I love that, mm-hmm. I love that phrase, is to actually practice saying thank you,
mm-hmm.
noticing what he does,
hmm.
and saying thank you for that. And yep. literally, thank you for giving me that big hug mm-hmm. in front of the kids. Yep. Like, that really made me feel awesome. Mm-hmm. That, for you as a woman, you may be thinking that, but you may not think to say it. And for a guy, that really is oxygen. We found that for men, 72% of men said, that is it. That is life. That yes. is life blood. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something like 90-something percent of men said it was great. Mm-hmm. You know, but yeah, 72% of men said that is oxygen.
Just saying thank you.
Just
and
saying
noticing.
Thank you. Yep. That's a man's equivalent of I love you. And I know we need to have a whole nother podcast on that because it's a big deal. Another thing that is a huge deal for men is actually in front of other people saying something that he did amazingly well.
Yeah.
I think saying, you know, something that is a, you know what he did the other day? He took the kids out into the yard. Like, mm-hmm. we're talking about him being a great dad and mm-hmm. he was so tired and he did it, you know, and, you know, on the outside, he's like, oh yeah, it was just nothing. And on the inside, he's like, oh yeah. You know, like, this is good.
This is a big one because we often, when Jen and I talk, we'll have people text in at conferences and say, okay, guys, fill in the blank to help these ladies out. Uh-huh. I feel most respected when my wife, and then they will just text in their answers. And that would be great, actually, for you ladies to ask your husbands. Just ask them that question.
And then send us what you learned.
And send us what you learned so we can tell everybody else.
On the Facebook page.
On the Family Life Facebook page. And just, I feel most respected. Like, ask your husband, hey, honey, when do you feel most respected by me? And just sit back and listen. Because some of the answers really surprise. You would think it would always just be like, you know, I walk into the house and you're naked with a plate of wings. Like, that
was 85% of men.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Okay, so outside of that, it's simple things. Bragging in front of others is a big one. You want to see your husband puff up in front of everybody? Is that you just go, man, you should see what he built in the backyard. It is awesome, this treehouse. Or you should see how he played with the kids. They did this great Nerf battle, and it was they were Nerf gun. And I'm sure every wife's going, I'm so tired of Nerf bullets. I
know, they're
burn
everywhere.
Them all.
Yes.
But this was an epic battle that he took the kids on, and it was awesome. Just bragging about something, even if it's small, a guy is going to go, oh, I feel oxygen.
And the cool thing is that, you know, we started this with, what if he's disappointed you? And you notice as a woman, you know what? That doesn't change the fact that he has this struggle with porn over here.
Right.
You know, or that doesn't change the fact that he's always late. Mm-hmm. Or it doesn't change the fact that, you know, he doesn't get along with my parents.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is. But this stuff is real. Mm-hmm. You know, circling back to what we talked mm-hmm. about at the beginning, this is a very real part of him too.
Yep.
And it deserves affirmation. And that will make him want to go much more that direction.
Yeah. Because the truth is, if you're married, you are married to a inconsistent sinner. You know, well, I'm inconsistent and messy in my life, in my spiritual life. And so is my wife, Jen. And we want to love that person well, because when we love that person well, we love that person like God loves us, because God loves a bunch of inconsistent people. And so these are some great practical ways on how we can respect, even when it doesn't seem like they're doing anything worthy of respect. And so, great question. I know we'll talk about more of this in the future. If you have not read For Women Only, highly recommend it. Also, the other book that Shanti recommended was The Surprising Secrets of Highly Happy Marriages. And it really is about the little things that can cause a great big win in your marriage. So as we close, we want to be an encouragement to you. I bet there's a couple ways that you're actually winning in this area. And so don't beat yourself up. Just think about one or two things that you're really doing well here, and keep doing those things. But I'd also ask you, what's the one thing you go, man, I need to improve there. I really want to apply that to my life this week. And just pick that one thing and start working on it and see what happens in your marriage. I bet it'll take a turn for the better. Shanti, as always, it's good to be with you. And here at Family Life, we are passionate about you experiencing oneness in the key relationships of your life. And if you want more help and hope along those lines, you can find it at familylife.com. And by the way, we wanted to also let you know that this podcast is listener supported. And so we appreciate many gifts from people just like yourself. And if you're interested in donating today, you can do that there at familylife.com. Just click the word donate. I'd love to give a special thanks to our audio producer, CJ3, and our project coordinator, Paige Johnson, for helping to pull this off. We couldn't do it without their help. So, ladies, And you dudes that are listening in too, thanks for joining us on this first season of Married with Benefits, Questions Every Wife is Asking. It's been fun. This next question is one where I don't know if I agree with. Shanti thinks that every guy is trying to prove himself to his wife by doing these little stupid feats of strength like carrying in all the groceries all at once from the car. Okay, maybe I've done that once or twice in my life. So we'll debate that next time on Married with Benefits. I'm Brian Goins. Thanks for listening.